The Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and today I decided to do my show outdoors. Yes, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and yes, it is 115,000 degrees. I'm sorry, but I'm okay in dry heat. I'm okay in 115 degrees, but as long as I'm in shade, I'm actually at the Phoenix Zoo right now, and I have a little bit of a scenery behind me. There's a lake where people come to fish. And I thought, you know what, even though you're going to hear planes over me, once in a while, then it's okay, because what I'm going to be talking about today is something very important to me. It's something very synergetic, and it's very organic, and it's very personally, I'm going to try not to get emotional, very special to me. I'm going to be talking about children today. Yeah, there's going to be children here playing with their families. They're going to be going to the zoo. I've noticed something in the last week since I've been recovering from COVID. By the way, thank you to my viewers and listeners for being patient with me. It took me a while just to get re-engaged from being withdrawn from society again. I have to get this going. I want to do this in a healthful and very positive way. And all I kept thinking about the whole time that I was forced to be isolated was, I want to be with my babies. The reason I never get sick is because I'm always with them, not necessarily physically interacting with them, but being healthfully interactive. And yeah, I call them a lot. I text them a lot. I Zoom them sometimes because they're 1,400 miles away. But my children are a huge part of who I am. And what I've noticed too recently, fairly recently here in Phoenix, is there are a lot of people who are very negative with their children, and they're very, they're cruel and abusive. I'm trying to think of a more politically correct or socially graceful way to say it. No, they're abusive and they're mean. And there's a part of me that wants to just say, you know what, if you don't stop doing that, I'm going to take your kid away from you. You don't deserve to have this amazing person in your life. But I thought, no, instead of doing that, I'm just going to tell my listeners, my viewers, about what you do with kids and how you do it, and why, after 28 years, my oldest is not a baby anymore, but he's still my baby. you need to do what's good with them, for them, to them. You're going to have really amazing people in your life as adults. Okay, I'm starting to get emotional now, so I'm going to go to my first story. I really was always told things by women, adult women in my life, about kids, what they are and what they do. First of all, they are going to make you fat. Pregnancy makes you fat. Okay, so when I got my, hey, positive, you're pregnant test results back, the first thing I thought was, that's it. I'm not going to be gorgeous anymore. I was a dancer and I wanted to be beautiful. We've got a little family. They were taking pictures walking by. Okay, so I thought, well, great, that's it. So my body's over. I'm only 18 and now my husband's not going to love me anymore. That's not true. Okay. I breastfed and the weight came off. I kept walking. Okay. And I was running after him all the time. The weight came off. And then they're very expensive. You're never going to have any money left. Well, actually, the only extra thing kids need is food and diapers and clothes. People were throwing clothes at me. I didn't have to buy clothes. Breastfeeding is free. Yeah, diapers. There's community places if you can't afford it. They'll give you diapers. as they grew up, you know what? They're actually pretty low maintenance because they're not very demanding people. Oh, no. But you're not going to really have a relationship with your husband anymore because your time and attention is totally and completely going to be focused on them. So your marriage is over. No, actually, you keep them occupied doing certain things. They're pretty low maintenance as people, as long as they are stimulated and content. And they know that when you are doing stuff that you love with the person in your life that you love, men are low maintenance, men are fine. Just take care of them and do certain things with them. Okay. Kids are pretty cool and they're pretty independent. Let them be independent. What an idea. So my first pregnancy. Okay. What am I going to do now as a mother? What was I going to do? Okay. Well, time to give birth. Sitting there 9 months. Okay. Yeah. Sitting there in the delivery room. And they said, okay, you're fully effaced. You're fully dilated. He's down in the birth canal. When you feel the urge, start pushing. Okay. Sitting there in the bed. Feel the urge. What urge? And how do you push? No one ever actually told me how to push. So I'm like, okay. Hey, I saw a picture once. There was a lady standing up. She was pushing standing up. I thought, hey, I'm going to get gravity to work with me, right? For me. So I thought, okay, I need to stand up. But I had a midwife because I have an epilepsy condition. I had my MD, I had my husband, and I had a nurse. I had four people there in the room with me. I'm sitting here going, oh, you know what? I'm standing up. So I got up. And my husband goes, whoa, honey, where are you going? You haven't had the baby yet. He looks at the doctor and goes, is she going nuts? Does this pregnancy make women go nuts? And he said, no, well, what you doing? And I said, I want to stand up. I want to do this standing up. I have a right to do that, right? I've gone through this whole thing with no medication, no painkiller of any kind. I can do this. And the midwife says, actually, that picture you saw in the office, you need to squat down, all the way squat down, like in a catcher position. So I said, okay. Then I'm thinking I'm going to push him out. I'm going to, well, whatever. I'm just going to do what she says, right? Follow what she says. Okay. So sitting there, sitting in the squat position. So the bearing down thing again, what's that? And the doctor said, okay, you're going to feel a feeling. It's like an urge, like going to the bathroom. When you feel it, you go ahead and just start pushing. You work with your body. And I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting there waiting for the urge. I said, so I'm going to feel something. And the urge came over me. I had never, ever felt like this going to the bathroom, but it was powerful. And I pushed and pushed. And then the midwife said, okay, stop. You're only supposed to push for a few seconds, 30 seconds, whatever. I pushed for over a minute, but I couldn't stop. My body wouldn't stop me. So I was, after pushing, and they said, okay, you can't do that again. You can't do that. And I said, I couldn't help it. I tried to stop. I couldn't. And my body pushed again. And his head came out. His head started to actually come out. And I was like, okay. So I walked back over to the bed. His head partially out. I got back into the bed. I pushed two more times. And he was out. He was there. And he was crying. And I was like, whoa, what is this? Oh my God, I have this. I have this little person in me out. Oh, and he started crying. And I said, what do I do? No one ever told me to. But I said, what do we do with the crying thing? And they said, okay, well, he's probably hungry. So go ahead and just latch him on. And you can go ahead and breastfeed and we'll talk to you. As I put him on and he fit. And he seemed to like what was coming out. And I was like, wow. I completely ignored what everyone else said. And I said, wow. This is a person. He's like, oh my gosh, I've never. Okay. I think I love him. And this isn't love like my parents or like my husband or like my neighbor that I secretly don't like. This is a place inside of me that I didn't know about. Okay. Well, maybe this isn't so bad after all. I don't know. I think I'm going to take all these other things that everyone else said with a grain of salt. So as he, you know, grew up, and I thought, okay, I don't know what to do. You know what? I don't know what to do. He's weird. He's very different. So I actually decided that I was going to profile him. I was told that babies are actually born with a personality. We're all born with a personality. Well, I knew that because I knew my personality. I knew my husband's personality, friends and family. Yeah, I did that because that helped me relate to them better. So I thought, okay, I'm going to watch him and see. He's an extrovert. Okay, that's okay. I still love him. He's sensory. He's a feeler. He's a judger. I'm an INTP. He's an ESFJ. Okay, you know what? That's it. I got to have this book here on how to deal with ESFJs. Well, you know what? The different things that he did over the years, the first thing he did that just made me go, wow. He said, when he found out I was pregnant with his brother, he said, Mommy, I want to read to the baby. Because I would read to him. We had a great storybook. And I said, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, he's two. He doesn't know how to read, but that's okay. We're just going to let him read. I'm going to let him do what he wants. I'm going to study him because I still don't know him. I still don't get him. So as I was, you know, got my stomach there, I was looking, and he grabbed his book that he loved, and I'd read some stories to him so many times, he knew them actually by heart, and he read some of them kind of just from memory. But then there were other pictures that apparently he had seen before going through the book, and he started making pictures into stories. And I was like, wow, some of the thoughts that are in his mind about these pictures, what they mean, what the people in the pictures mean, who they are. I just let him, you know, there were a couple of times when he said things that weren't really accurate. And I thought, okay, it behooves me to let him know what this story is actually about when it's an important one, in my opinion. Well, one day I could feel his brother actually turning inside of me, and I went, whoa, this is so cool. But I didn't want to interrupt him, right? Because he was reading. And I said, okay, yeah, you know what, honey, go ahead, read another story. And he went to the next one. My stomach, you could actually see my stomach. It looked like there was a little bump in it. And I said, I think that's your brother kicking. That's so cool. I didn't know babies could be so active inside of you. And so I said, you know what, honey, this is going to be our thing. You're going to read to your brother. I think you have a better voice than I do. One day my husband comes home from work and we're having our special quality bonding time with the baby. And my husband says in Spanish, because we didn't really speak Spanish at home, we spoke English. He said to me, does our son know that he doesn't know how to read? And I said, don't say that, then he'll stop. Of course he knows how to read. En español estaba diciendo que obviamente todo su hijo sabe leer porque está leyendo a nuestra criatura que está enseñando. ¡Cállate! Okay. And I was like, okay, this is very good. His brother came out 8 pounds, 11 and a half ounces. My first one was only 14 ounces. He wasn't even 7 pounds. His brother was 2 pounds bigger than he was. And I'm like, wow. I pushed my first one out with 2, 3 pushes. Yeah, no, this one. Okay. And I needed to be sewn up. I saw him as an almost 9 pound baby. About 8 pounds of it was head. Okay. And they put him on the bed next to my bed. And they were doing testing on him, and he wasn't responding. And I was very concerned. And I was like, don't you dare do anything synthetic or chemical or surgery with my baby. That's my baby. And they were like, ma'am, okay, we're going to take care of this child. And I said, no, it's my baby. Okay. I get to decide what happens with my, well, apparently his brother was waiting. Okay. He was waiting on the other side of the door, and he was tired of waiting. And he heard people talking. He urged into the room. He ran. He goes, where's my baby? Where's my baby? My son, fresh out of the oven, lifted up his head and looked around, dropped his head. And I went, whoa. He just lifted his head. And the doctor was like, ma'am, I understand you really want that to happen. I said, no, you don't understand. He just lifted up his head, which was 2/3 of his body weight. Okay. I said, Flaco, do that again. Say that again. Talk to the baby. Stand. And they're like, he can't be in here. I said, you know what? I'm going to leave if you don't stand back. Okay. Let my baby talk to his baby. And he said it again. The kid lifted up his head again. And the doctors were like, wow. I said, yeah, I'm beginning to believe more and more that medical professionals, you're some of the dumbest people on the planet. I looked at my husband and he said, okay, honey, we're just going to let the doctors take care of our kid. I said, no, I like the midwife. I'm going to go to a pediatrician. Let's get the hell out of here. I said, okay. So as my first one and my second one are growing up and they're becoming people, my ESFJ for a first one, I profiled the second one. He was an ISTP, much more like me. The only difference is I'm intuitive, he's sensory. Well, as my other one is, you know, growing up, my oldest basically is telling me, mom, I got this covered. I'm doing really well with my baby now. And I said, okay, well, I have another baby, so I'm going to go ahead and take care of her. And he said, no, she's my baby. And my second son said, no, she's my baby. She's my baby. Well, I'll change her diaper. No, I'll change her clothes. No, I interrupted, I said, you guys, are you gonna let me in on this process? You know, I am the mother after all. And they both looked at me and just said, mom, we got this covered. We'll let you know when we need you. And I said, wow, I really do suck at the cooking and the cleaning and bathing you guys and doing all the logistics of a mother stuff. And they said, yeah, we know you try, Mom, but you're really bad at it. My oldest at this point was 4 and a half, and my other one was two years old when my daughter came out. And I said, okay, so I'm just going to do the logistics of the, you know, mother job, but I liked them as people. So I'm just going to keep interacting with them, relating to them like people. And I did speak to them like adults because I didn't know how to talk baby talk. It sounded retarded to me. And I got a lot of flack for what I did as a very unconventional mother. Well, then my oldest had a younger brother and a younger sister. Well, my mom, my oldest was her first grandson, and she took him out and she bought him things and she did things with him. And my oldest came to me one day and he said, Mom, I'm really not comfortable with the fact that Nana takes me, but not Nick or Anya. And I said, honey, I know, but three kids is a lot of work, man. Just the two of you boys was too much for me. You can't expect her to take all three of you all the time. And he said, yeah, I do. And I went, wow. Okay. That's kind of cool. You're 6 years old and you've just made a decision about your life. That's kind of fabulous. And so I said, okay, honey, if you want to go ahead and let Nana know that you feel that way, maybe you can talk it out. We can see what she says. Remember, he's an ESFJ. Okay. Look it up. Google it. I'm not going to talk about it today. We'll talk about it next week. And he said to her one day, he got this very serious look on his face. And he said, Nana, I need to talk to you. And she's like, oh, okay, sweetheart, what's up? I absolutely will listen to whatever you have to say. Because she was absolutely enamored of him. He was an amazing person, just as a person. And he said, okay, you know what? I want you to take my brother and sister with me. And she said, oh, okay, well, I can take them one at a time. How about if I just come get you less and I come get them more? He said, no, no, we're a package deal. It's all of us or none of us. And I was sitting there going, oh my God, he was serious. I thought he was gonna, you know, negotiate or just express his feelings. I mean, he was strong and confident and direct and honest. And I went, I didn't know what to say. I literally had nothing to say. And my mother looked at me and I went, and she said, well, then I guess it's none of you. And she walked away. She actually thought I told him to say that. Well, obviously, because how many kids at that age would give their grandparent an ultimatum? She walked out and I went, honey, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry she said that. He said, no, that's fine. She doesn't want them. She doesn't get me. And he went back into his room and I went, wow. Okay. So who wants dinner? And I was like, damn, I want to be like this kid. He wasn't inappropriate. He wasn't moody. He wasn't disrespectful. Wow. And as he grew up and his brother and sister grew up, and I'm going to talk about them next, I was just like, wow, this kid is, he's an amazing man. And I really like who he is. Well, as a teenager, well, you know, teenagers, they're obnoxious and they're rude and they're spoiled. And okay, well, I started my practice as a relationship coach when my oldest was 11, 12. And he was telling his friends, hey, yeah, my mom's a shrink. My mom's a shrink. One of my favorite stories to tell people is, I say, honey, you gotta stop telling people that. A coach, I teach people about good things. I don't try and fix what's wrong. I was selling him on, well, I'm not a shrink. I am a relationship coach. At this time, I was a life coach. And one day he just turns around and he looks and he goes, Mother, you are the worst kind of shrink. You're a shrink in denial. And I went, oh my God, that was such a cool thing for him to say. My heart started laughing. And I, in my side, I thought, I think you're actually my favorite right now. I've never had a favorite child. I think right now you just became my favorite. Okay. Then his brother and sister walked in. I'm like, okay, oh, no, never mind. That was just a really cool thing for you to say. And I thought, yeah, you know, as teenagers, yeah, they're honest. Sometimes they're brutal. But if you appreciate who they are as people, it's not that bad. And here's the deal. If your energy around them is good, They're good people. They will do good things to impress you, okay? So keep this in mind. I'm going to come back at the end, talk about an ESFJ as a person. But as a kid, wow, they're strong and confident and generous, and they have a lot of virtue. Okay, now my second son, the one that was ginormous in me and very active before he came out, and he lifted up his head when his brother was around. Okay, ISTP, I got that at 6 months. Okay, ISTP, that is my husband, the troublemaker, introverted. So everything bad that a child can be, that you hear about, that you see about, that you read about, yeah, this was his kid. Okay, but let me tell you some of the great stories about this one. Okay, you know what? As a kid, as a little rebel, yeah, he would do things that were not appropriate. But I understood that as an SP, he needed to do things in order to learn. But he had his brother keeping him pretty good in check. Okay, so I tried to keep him good, busy with good things, healthy things. Well, he saw a fire. He saw fire. Well, of course, my husband. We were in Arizona, and we were doing a lot of things outdoors. He wanted to play with matches. Well, obviously, you don't play with matches. But I read about ISTPs, and I thought, you know what? He does need to play with matches. If I don't be with him while he plays with matches, then he's going to do it on his own as an introvert on the down low. He's very good at getting things happening, things doing things on the down low. Okay, so I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to teach him how to light the matches, and we're going to burn a few things, and I'm going to teach him the principles because he's an introverted thinker. So yeah, at age two, three, four. Yeah, I really did have him understanding and appreciating things, not just tangibly, but intellectually. He was a very smart kid. Okay, well, but one day my mother-in-law was in my home and she was hurting me emotionally and she was undermining me physically. She was doing things. She was very upset with what was going on. And I couldn't get into it with her. I wasn't going to fight with her in front of the kids. She kept, you know what? I'm going to withdraw. My kids, they understood. They understood that sometimes I needed to withdraw. At this time, they were 7 and 5 and 3. Okay. So I just said to the kids, look, you know what? Mommy needs a time out. So I went in the bathroom and I was like, okay, I need to pray. Some breathing exercises that I do. All of a sudden, I heard a scream. My mother-in-law was screaming, and I went, "Oh my God!" So I opened up the door. I ran out into the kitchen. I'm like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And she had this glare. I was looking at my kid and looking at me. I looked at my daughter and went, "What?" And I looked, and then I looked at my 5-year-old. He had this kind of look in his eyes, like, "It's okay, Mom. I took care of her." And I said, "What happened?" Apparently, he had written one of the matches, out of the big box, matches, construction matches. And he put it on her leg. And she screamed and he threw the match away. And I went, wow, the fact is, he understands the principle of, heat and skin, fire and burning. And he said, "It's okay, Mom. I took care of her for you." And I said, "Okay, she's not going to speak to me for the rest of the night, is she?" And he goes, "That's the idea." And I went, "Wow, he really does love me. We just need to now teach him about the concept of behavior and what's appropriate. Because, daddy's going to be mad at me now." He said, "That's okay. Because you know that she needed to stop and she wasn't going to stop." And I said, "Thank you, sweetheart." This is the kind of kid who played with fire when he did bad things. But for a good reason. You know what? He had kind of a quick sense of humor too. There was a joke that he learned one day in school. Or I don't know, maybe some friends they went to school with. That's what she said. Okay, it's kind of tacky because basically it was a sex joke. And so it was sometimes when people would say something in conversation that it was like, wow, that's going to be really long and hard. He would look at me and go, "That's what she said." And I'd be like, "You can't see it." He's like, "That's okay. I'll just do TWSS. It'll be kind of our inside joke." And so periodically, getting older, he would see that I was having a hard time during the day, and And he would take care of me just by making the joke, TWSS, walking by me. It was our inside joke. And I was like, you know what? I really like that he wants to connect with me, but it was private and it was special. And that he's also the kind of kid who I'm going to tell this great story. We were at the store one day, and again, just as a little rebel, he just wanted to rebel and he wanted to experience everything that life was about. He was grabbing things and touching things. He didn't want them. He just wanted to. And I said, okay, honey, stop, stop. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. And so I'd be going shopping, and he said, and I'm like, don't touch that. And I never used corporal punishment. I never hit my kid. But I could get pretty forceful when I would re remove them from a situation, when I would talk, and when I would give them punitive consequences for what they did, but I would always explain it. Well, I said, don't touch that. Don't touch that. And I said, so I sat there and I pretended like I was doing something. And I saw as he was getting ready. And I said, don't even think about it. As he was just literally inches away. And he goes, what's this? I'm thinking about it. And I went, oh my God, that was actually kind of cool. I thought that was kind of cool because it was like, you know what? Fine, I will obey you, but you can't control my thoughts. You can't force my feelings. And I thought, kind of in a way, that means I'm doing a good job as a mother, because he was only 6 years old when he was doing that. And it's like, yeah. Or maybe no, actually he was, I think he was three. Sorry, I got it confused with another story. That yeah, he was only three when he was doing that. And he was like, you know what? Forget it. You can stop what I'm doing, but you can't stop what I'm thinking and feeling. I thought, okay, this kid, he's gonna be smart in life. That means it could be good or bad. We'll see what happens when it comes to fruition. Okay, well, you know what? Good and bad, yeah, he did and was both. Well, one of the stories that I really like to tell too is that when he was growing up, and about the age of 10, he was as taller than me. He would still sit on me, you know, when he was my size, and he'd put his arms and legs around me, and I took pictures of him, and it looked actually, when we were sitting down and we were holding each other, he actually looked bigger than me. And so when I said, yeah, there's times that I really do just want to have fun with you, and I want to be physical with you, and I don't care what everyone else thinks. We don't care what other people think. You and I have our own connection. We have our own specialness. And so one day in the store, I believe he was 17, maybe 18, and he was kissing me and tickling me, and we were making jokes, little inside jokes, and we were standing in line at the grocery store, and there was someone behind us and said, you two are so cute. You're such a great couple. How long have you been together? And I went, oh my God. First of all, I took that as a compliment because it meant that I looked young. That's what that meant. The fact that it was incestuous, they didn't know he was my kid, so it was okay. and as they said, how long have you two been a couple? I said, actually, he's my son. And he turns around and he goes, yeah, my mom's hot, huh? And they kind of started laughing, like, yeah, actually she is. She's gorgeous. He said, I know, and she's a really great person too. I went, wow, you know what? It means a lot to me that as young adults, my kids are interactive with me and they like me and they do respect me and they're very good people. They're becoming good people. How can you put a price on that? You can't. I really do think that the way that we related to each other as people. One of my favorite lines in a show ever was Roseanne, when she said, I think it was she was talking to the principal. Yes, the principal. And she said, you know what? No matter what you do as parents, kids are going to do what they're going to do. They're like people that way. Yeah, kids are just people. What would you want? How would you want to be treated? Well, then treat your kid that way. Treat them with dignity and honor and respect and answer their questions with actual answers, not because I said so. They really do want to know. Okay, so my second one, my problem child. Yeah, we still have that. The really great part though about the TWSS thing is then there were times when he would, you know, look at me and I would know that he was thinking, and you know what I'm thinking, but I know you know what I know that you're thinking. And we had that kind of little mind game. I couldn't have that with my other kids because they're both feeling judgers. This one was a thinking perceiver. Okay, and I did know. That was a good thing. Otherwise, he probably would have given me much more of a run for my money. My daughter. Yeah, she's an ENFJ. And when she came out and the boys were fighting over her, she was nothing like the boys. And I thought, okay, I got two boys fighting over her. And I got me all thumbs. And I'm busy because I'm constantly taking care of these two boys. How in the world am I going to factor in another one? Honey, it doesn't go from this to this when you have two. It goes from this to this. Okay, it doesn't go from this to this when you have three. It goes from this to this. Okay, because they need your time and they need your attention and they need your focus. So you're physically doing a lot of things, but emotionally, you have to be there for them. And I thought, okay, so one of my favorite stories of all time, simply because I still have the picture, I'm not going to show it out of respect for her. Okay, I only show it to people that she's comfortable with me showing it to. One day, our kids got head lice. You know what? In Phoenix, that's a common occurrence. I didn't know what to do. What in the world do you do with head lice? I remember when I got it, my mom was picking at my head, and I didn't want to deal with that. At their head. My husband can do it because he's a great husband, father, when it comes to the menial and the labor stuff. He would do a lot of that for me. Well, you know what? My husband, very Mexican, very you just get rid of the whole problem. Let's just go ahead and shave their heads. And I thought, they look like they have cancer. You actually, or we put them in the military. Are you insane? I'm not going to shave my kids bald. He said, honey, go to school tomorrow, you see. All of them, they're all bald. They're all going to be bald. A lot of them were. And so I was like, okay, you know what? And my boys are cool. My boys are cool. They could pull off that, you know, attitude. Look, well, my daughter, okay, may I first just start off by saying my husband is very attractive. I think I'm pretty attractive. We mixed. When my daughter came out, she was absolutely breathtaking. And I was like, wow, you're so beautiful. So beautiful. And I'm like, she said, I want to be bold too. I want to be beautiful. I said, Mija, honey, you are so beautiful. Let's just take the time to do the work to keep your hair and your beauty. And she said, no, I want to be bald. She was only five at the time. Or six. I'm sorry, six at the time. That's why I got confused with the other stories. Okay. So she was six. And I said, honey, look, you're a girl. Okay. We're not going to shave you bald. She said, I am not. And I went, oh my God, I made a mistake letting my sons take care of her. I said, honey, I can show you anatomically where you're not like your brothers. I can show you at school, the girls tomorrow. She did kind of dress like a boy. Oh my gosh. I didn't even realize. She got the construction paper scissors, locked herself in the bathroom. And I was like, oh man, is there anything in there that she could actually cut? She was laughing, laughter, heart, gut, laughter. And I pounded on the door. I said, what are you doing in there? Open that door. She had construction paper scissors and she was taking a little bit at a time. Each one, nine different lengths of hair. And she just grinned and said, I'm beautiful. And she handed me the scissors and I went, I can't believe you have your school picture tomorrow. I said, and we don't have time to make an appointment at the salon. And I don't know how to fix all this. I said to my husband, I said, what are we going to do? He says, you know what? Where I come from, she's going to school and she is taking that picture and kids are going to laugh at her. She's going to learn and kids are going to laugh and she's going to see. And I was like, that's so old school, punitive. All right, fine. And she said, good, I'm beautiful. And I said, honey, actually, you kind of are, you know, because when you're happy and you got a beautiful face, your hair, it's a style, it'll come in. So don't worry about it. We'll figure it out tomorrow. So it's just one school picture. We'll just never get it. We'll never have it taken. I don't know. What's for dinner? She went to school the next day And she walked out the door with a bigger smile on her face than I'd ever seen before. And the kids were like, wow, you look so good. Where did you get your hair done? She goes, I cut my own hair. And I went, oh man, this thing's biting me in the butt. So I got a school picture taken. And I said, you know what? You want to leave your hairdo like that? She wants to. Because we didn't have the negative effects and consequences socially that we thought it would. Got her school picture back. She was beautiful. And I show it to people and they're like, wow. In the 80s, you know, that or even the 90s, that would have been a very cool hairstyle. And I'm like, I know, she's beautiful. And she's got an intuition about beauty that transcends things like physical appearance. Because yeah, again, as a mom, I didn't always dress my kids in an impressive way. I didn't always take them impressive places. I didn't feed them the best food. I did the best that I could. Yeah, and you know what? It was good enough for them. And they were very content to accept the best that I did. With their dad, it was something. With their grandmother, it was something. With the people in our community, it was something. In our congregation, the relationship I had with them was amazing. Another story I love to tell people about my daughter. Again, I have a seizure disorder, but I have an ability to kind of stop the seizures, to prevent them from happening in the first place. And sometimes even when they start, to stop them. I went to a lady who uses very progressive techniques about breathing and energy and pressure and focus and all of this good stuff, basically using the power of the mind. And she said, now there's this technique that you use. You put this here. Okay. You put a hand here. Close your eyes. The person that's holding and pressing, I close my eyes and they breathe with me. I have to follow the breath of the person. And that person has to feel me, right? And I feel them and we get that in sync. And then when that person feels that energy that I had has gone away, they tell me to open my eyes. Okay, yeah. And it stopped the seizure. It actually stopped the seizure. I went, wow, this is so cool. She's the person I go to. Even as an adult, she's the person that I go to. When I say, look, I got stuff going on. You're an ENFJ. I profiled her. I'm like, wow. She's three letters different from me. We got the one, the intuition, that's the same. And so I would say to her as she was growing up, as I was raising her, I'd be like, wow, honey, that's why you could give yourself a haircut and be beautiful. You could heal me on a very organic level. Stop a grandma seizure. I want to be like you when I grow up. And she just said, Mom, you're never going to grow up. And that's okay. I still love you. And I'm like, God, wow. Yes, she was a problem child in some sense. Let me tell you a story of when she was a problem child. We were at a restaurant, and yes, my husband and I, we had a very carnal marriage. Yes, we did like to be together a lot, and our kids knew it. And I told the kids, look, you know what, Mom and Dad, we need to take care of each other. We're going to the bedroom. Trust me, you're going to like it when we're done. We're going to be better people for you when we come out. Well, the boys, they had a way they were teaching the girl. Apparently, they had an expression, okay, to let, it was code to let them know, well, okay, Mom and Dad are going at it. Yep, in a good way. Well, one day we were at a restaurant with our congregation elders and their wives, and they said to my daughter, you know what, Anya, you are turning out to be such an amazing woman. We really like who you are, quite the young lady. I believe she was 7 at this time. Okay. And she said, well, thank you very much. My brothers have raised me very well. And she kept eating and they were just kind of chuckling, going, she said, brothers. And so one of the elders' wives, she was more confident. She was more, shall we say, extroverted. Okay. Said, well, did your mom and dad help your brothers? And she put her fork down and she said, looked directly at her and said, yes. Technically, they are there. They're there most of the time. But if they didn't spend so much time in their bedroom talking, then my brothers wouldn't have to do their job for them. She went back to eating. The whole table busted out laughing. And my husband just wanted to die. I know he wanted to die, but he didn't know what to say. And all I could say was, well, a few of those times we did talk. We were dirty talking. Oh my God. And I just went, honey, how long have you known that mommy and dad do that? And she's like, forever. And I said, wow, you guys have. And they all three looked at us and go, yeah. You know what? Other parents would have been angry about that. I actually thought it was pretty fabulous. I thought it was cool. So we've got the trick that she did, the haircut that she gave herself, the joke that she made that wasn't even meant to be a joke. It was just the real honest truth. Well, my daughter, she's an amazing woman. I know, even as an adult, she's someone that I go to for those kinds of things. I even say to her, honey, you know how to make people beautiful. Can you make me beautiful? I have jewelry, I have clothes, I have makeup. Make me beautiful. Yeah, she made me beautiful for pictures, for modeling that I had to do, for presentations. Well, one day, and this is one of my favorite stories to tell in my life, one day I was in the kitchen and I was sitting here thinking, you know what? I've got a bill I have to pay. This is a really important bill. It's my phone bill. If I don't pay my phone bill, I can't do my work. I can't talk to my kids, my husband. He needed his phone for his work too. And I thought, but you know what? I have some community service with my congregation, some very important friends in my congregation that I want to do in the early morning. And this is important to me, but I have to pay this bill. I got a job offer for a little bit over, just a little bit over what I needed to pay the phone bill. But the only time I could do it was at the time when I was scheduled to go out with my friends to do this community service. Oh, man. So I'm sitting there in the kitchen, I'm doing the dishes and, thinking about what to do for dinner. And I'm like, I really don't want to cook dinner. I'm trying to pray, but I can't really because I'm like, my daughter walks into the kitchen. She goes, what in the world is going on here? And I said, I really don't want to do the dishes and I'm, trying to cook. Do you want dinner? What do you want for dinner tonight? And she said, what's really going on? I can feel you through two walls. Okay. I can feel you. You're giving me an ulcer. Now tell me the truth. And I went, okay. I really want to go out with my brothers tomorrow to do some service, but I really do need to pay the bill. And I don't want you to give me your money because at this point she was working and she could have loaned me the money. I could have asked people for money. And I said, I really kind of want to go out with my friends, but I almost feel like being with them would be selfish, even though it's community service. I think I want to be with them more than they want to be with me. And then I was thinking, but if I need the money, I can go to work and maybe we could do it later in the day. I really need to trust in God, but putting spiritual things first, but spiritual things is my financial. And she goes, Mom, you're giving me the ulcer. Let's get out of here. We're going for a walk. I said, okay. Let me get my shoes on. It's cold and it's dark outside, but at least it's not raining. You know what? Let's go ahead and let's go out for a walk. And so she said, okay, now that we're out, we're on the street, go ahead and tell me what's going on. And I said, well, I did. I kind of told you I really want to do the right thing, but they really do both seem equally right to me. And she said, okay, you need to pray. And I said, I do. I really do. But I'm trying to like pray. I said, I need to do it out loud. And she said, okay, you can do that with me. And I said, really? I said, but I kind of want to do it in Spanish. And she goes, all right. Yeah, you can. And I said, but we're coming up to a coffee shop up here. Can I hold you? I don't want to be walking when I do it. Can I hold you while I pray in Spanish out loud? And she said, yeah, you're a mess. You need to get the recenter. I mean, it's like even the Olga trick won't work on you right now. And I said, okay, that really means a lot to me that you said that you're going to let me, because she does not like to make a scene. She does not like to make a scene for undue attention. And so I, hold on a second. So this is part of the reason why I saved this story for last. I said, okay, honey, Thank you. And so I sat down with her. We sat at kind of a table, and she was across from me, and I held her hands, and I was just like, everything that was inside of me, I completely dumped it out. And when I was done, I said, Amen. And I opened my eyes and I looked at her. And she goes, You know what you need to do, huh? I said, Yeah, I need to go out with my friends. I need to do service for God, and I need to trust him. And you know what? I do. Keep seeking first the kingdom and these things will come to you. She goes, Yeah, excellent. You know what? I'm so proud of you. I'm gonna buy you dinner. And I said, We're gonna walk home. Yeah, forget it. I don't even want to cook. I don't even feel like cooking. I'm so proud of myself for this. And she said, Okay. So as we're walking back on the sidewalk, it's dark and it's starting to rain. And I'm like, how poetic is this, the rain and the dark? And I saw up on the sidewalk, I was like, Do you see that? Do you see what that is? She goes, It's like money to me. I said, I know, right? Is that money? And it was like in a place on the sidewalk that it wasn't in front of anybody's house. There was no wallet. There was no person. I'm like, somebody dropped this money. So I picked it up. It was a wad about this thick. I'm not even close to kidding. It was ones and fives, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 10, 12, 13, $816 in cash. I went, oh my God, do you know what this means? She said, Yeah, we're going supersized. And I put my arms around her and I'm like, you know what, honey? I don't deserve you. I know I don't. She said, Yeah, Mom, you're actually not as bad as you think. And I was like, do you understand that for my kids to approve of me? And to want to be in my life as they're growing up and as adults. Yeah. My thought was, yeah, this will pay the bill, but I'll also be able to buy coffee for my car group tomorrow. But yeah, we'll also get dinner tonight. And I thought, look, they're very different people. They're three totally different people. As an ENFJ, I always tell my daughter, I want to be like you because I'm not NF in any way, and I'm not J in any way. And J is a very good thing because they're structured and they're disciplined. Like my oldest, okay? They really do have an inherent ability to do the right thing. And I really do appreciate that they forgive me. They forgave me as I was failing as a mother. Look, yes, a man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Cooking, cleaning, paying bills, tending to them, watching them. You know what? There was actually a job that I had where I was making a lot of money and sending my kids to daycare. And I was like, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. This daycare is taking up 75% of my take-home pay. So I'm away from them in order to get a little bit of cash. No. And I always tell people when I tell people the story about the money and they say, yeah, the blessing was the money. I said, no, the blessing was the little person who got my head back on straight by taking me out of the situation. Okay. Yeah, you put spiritual things first and things will happen. But family is first. And I said to my husband, I said, look, yeah, I have a good job. The bottom line, even only taking home a small percentage of my pay, but I'm missing out on my kids and I'm sending them to a place they don't raise them. Okay, they take care of them to shut them up, they feed them, and they wipe them when they're dirty. My kids were coming home as different people, and I said, absolutely not. Your kids will teach you what life is about. Your kids will show you who you truly are. Your kids will force you to think outside the box. They will get to you in a place where they can look at you and say something that no one else could say. Yeah. And they'll say jokes that other people said, and they're funnier because you love them and you give to them and they give to you. In that they make you a better person, they force you to do the right thing. Even if you do it wrong, they'll forgive you. And I always tell people, look, when I profile each of my kids, yeah, they're so completely different. I raise them in completely different ways. One of the examples I like to use, now that you know a little bit about kind of who they are as people, the problem child, the middle one, very independent, very strong. very confident in what he does and very successful. And he was actually the lowest maintenance one for me. It's because I was so much like him. Yeah. And he's so much like his dad that every time he would do something that reminded me of his dad or was like almost parallel to a story that his father told me, I was like, yeah, see, that was a little shot in the arm that I needed to keep going. I say to parents, you need to raise three different children in three very different ways. One example, if the matches, okay? If my oldest one at the age of 5 came to me and said, Mom, can I play with the matches? As an ESFJ, I would know to say to him, okay, you have my attention. You're very upset about something. What do I need to do to take care of that anger going on inside of you? He would never light the house on fire. If ever I lit a match, he was there, right, supervising me, okay, and maintaining my discipline. And I'm like, okay, honey, see, I'm doing it right, okay? He's like, okay, Mom, doing a good job. If he ever said, I'm going to play with the matches, it's, I'm going to burn the house down. I'm giving you a heads up. And if you don't stop me from burning the house down, you're doing a bad job as a mother. So I knew that when he said, I'm going to burn the house down, it was really about what's going on. We need to deal with something that you're not doing very well. Okay. You know what? I appreciated that about him. If my daughter, okay, the ENFJ, said, Mom, can I play with the matches? She doesn't want to hurt anything ever, and she doesn't like fire. What that would be is, Mom, I need to talk to you about this person that I'm with. They want to play with matches, probably. I don't want to. Can you say no to me so I can say no to them? Okay, I'd say, bring me your friend. We're going to go ahead and have a talk about why fire is not a good thing to play with. Well, you know what? My middle son, my ISTP, he said, Mom, can I play with the matches? I'd say, is your room clean? Yeah, I got a lot of flack for that. And half the time the answer would be no, it's not. And I think then the answer is no, and you know. But there were times when we would burn things together and we would talk and he would have experiences, physical experiences that were not like other children because he's only 1 to 2% of the human population. Yeah, that's okay too. I would say to people, my oldest son is my favorite, like my favorite movie. I could watch it over and over and over again and get something out of it different each time. Yeah. My middle son is like my favorite song that I listen to, and it gets to me in a place that no one will ever know and that no one will ever understand. And you can't put a value on that and you can't describe it. Yeah. And you know what? My daughter, she's like my favorite food. I actually do need her in a way. And she tastes really good. It's a good sensory experience and a very fulfilling one. So when someone asks me, well, who's your favorite child? They're all my favorite in a different way for different reasons, right? Do you know who you are as a person first? That's the only way you're going to be good as a parent. But you know what? They are people and they're amazing and they're strong and they're special. They're invaluable and they are who the world is going to be. Well, people say, well, if you're not ready for kids, don't have kids. Well, you know what? They happen. They do. And there is an expression, it takes a community. Yeah, it does take a community. It took a congregation to help me out. When we lost a very important woman in our congregation, she died. It actually hurt my kids a lot. It hurt just as much as if it had been a family member because our congregation was our family. When I saw that, I learned something about life and relationships too. Synergy is what we create when we come together. As a parent, you come together with your child. There is no neutral energy. If you are not positive, you are negative. Another principle I teach people, if you're not contributing to the solution, you are propelling the problem. That's true with kids too. Think about your synergy. What do you create when you come together with people in life? My show is going to be video from now on. I'm letting all of my viewers and listeners know that. Thank you so much for appreciating the power of synergy in your life. Look at children as people. Do things in your life differently. You're changing the world with everything you do. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio. And the power of synergy.